Anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets.
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. First and foremost, I want to throw out an apology for my audio tonight. Not really like me, but I'm in a situation right now with Blog Talk. We didn't agree with each other tonight, so we had some technical difficulties. But I'm still here, and so is Jet Nation Radio, and there is so much to talk about tonight. But tonight's a special night here on Jet Nation Radio because earlier later parts of last week, Jet Nation Radio's host, myself and Joe Blewett, were joined by All-Pro Center and Jet Starting Center Nick Mangle, who stopped by to have a few words with myself and Joe on his Who's Going to Win campaign, Who's Going to Win and predict the Super Bowl, sponsored by Verizon. So without further ado, let's jump right into it. Here is Nick Mangle on Jet Nation Radio.
Now joining us here on Jet Nation Radio is the New York Jets All-Pro Center, in my opinion, the best center in the National Football League, attending another Pro Bowl this year, and an Ohio State Buckeye, Nick Mangold. Nick, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. How are you doing?
Good. So, Nick, first off, I want to say congrats on the on another Pro Bowl, and of course, your Ohio State Buckeyes winning another national championship. First question I wanted to ask you right off the bat was, this has been a critical week for the New York Jets organization as a whole in terms of, the front office, the coaching staff. I wanted to see, what is your opinion based off of the two hires that the Jets made this week? And also, have you spoken to either Mike Maccagnan or Todd Bowles?
It's been one heck of a busy week, with the national championship and birthday on Tuesday. We get a GM and a head coach. Haven't even gotten to Friday yet, and I feel like we've put a month's worth of stuff in. I was able to meet both of them yesterday, Coach Bowles. It was just pleasantries. They're very busy guys right now. But you could immediately tell, his intensity, his excitement for the job, it's amazing. You can get that just from, hey, my name's Nick, nice to meet you. But I could feel his passion for it and his intensity right away.
Hey, Nick, thanks for joining us again, and congratulations on your alma mater, Ohio State, winning the national championship. And happy belated birthday. A little late, but happy birthday. We have been hearing many things about your new offensive coordinator, Chan Gailey, and we aren't quite sure if he'll be running the ball more like he did with the Steelers in 1997 when he did that 56% of the time, or like he did with the Bills in 2011 when he passed the ball 60% of the time. What have you personally heard of him, or what have you personally seen from Chan Gailey in your career?
I've heard great things. I'm excited to meet him. I don't know much in the way of X's and O's yet. But one of the best things about our game is, learning a playbook and the opportunity to see how he looks at offense and how, he wants to attack a defense. I'm excited to pick his brain on that. And, it should be a fun experience of getting to see his views on offense. And I'm excited to get that started.
Nick, how do you think another offensive coordinator is going to affect this offense and potentially the offensive line group as a whole?
I'm not sure yet. I think that's kind of the fun of what's coming. We got to get in, see what he thinks about, different run plays or pass plays, and try to get a feel for him. And then, I know that we'll be able to adapt to whatever he comes up with, and I think we're up for the challenge and we're excited about it.
Absolutely. Now, Nick, I am definitely, you know, we do this show, you know, obviously as on-air hosts, but we're diehard Jet fans. Joe's a season ticket holder. I go to every game myself. You know, we're big fans first before we put on before we step in front of the microphones. And one thing is, as a fan, you know, we see, you know, a guy like Rex Ryan obviously being fired and, you know, turning around and becoming the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. How do you think overall, you know, what do you think went wrong towards the end that ultimately led to Rex Ryan not being here anymore? And, you know, how do you see the locker room as a whole going into, you know, a new head coach and a guy like Rex, who was really beloved in the locker room? How do you see that affecting the team overall as well, too?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing is we went 4-12, and, you know, as Woody has said many times, we're in the business of winning, and 4-12 is not winning. So, you know, I think that right there, you know, shows you the cause. And obviously, with being with Rex for now, we had 6 years together, you know, I got a nice relationship with him, you know, on as a player coach and, you know, personally. And obviously it was disappointing to see him fired, but I understood the reasoning. And I knew he'd land on his feet. I just I'm a little disappointed with Buffalo. Because now I can't root for him as much as I'd like to. I hope that he does well. Yeah, I hope that he does well, but I hope, you know, not that well.
Along with Rex Ryan leaving, another coach who you must have been close with, Mike Delvin, also left the Jets to become the Texans' offensive line coach. Even though he has been the offensive coordinator or the offensive line coach since only 2013, he was still the longest tenured Jets coach, being a part of the team since 2006 when he started as a tight ends coach, and he helped with the offensive line sometimes. He must have had some type of impact on you. Are you sad to see Coach Devon leaving the team, or how do you feel about that, Nick?
Yeah, obviously, you know, Dev and I were together 9 years. Like you were saying, he came in at 06, assistant O-line coach. We spent a lot of time together. And it's going to be weird seeing the Jets without him because he's been there as long as I have. But, you know, he got a great opportunity down in Houston, and he took it. And I couldn't be happy for him. And, again, I hope he does well, except for, you know, when we got to play.
We're talking with Nick Mangold on Jet Nation Radio. Nick is part of the Who's Gonna Win campaign. Super Bowl is right around the corner, and that means Verizon's Who's Gonna Win program is back. This year, they're inviting fans across the country to show their fandom by transforming the nation into their team colors and making their prediction of who's gonna win. Fans are encouraged to join the hashtag Who's Gonna Win conversation on Twitter and Facebook to predict who they think will win in each playoff game leading up to the Super Bowl. Nick, the quarterback situation here definitely is a tricky one in terms of, you know, who's starting, who's going to be back next year. What is your current take on the quarterback situation right now for the Jets? And do you think the starting quarterback of the Jets is on this current roster?
Yeah, you know, I think obviously, I think Kino's got the tools. I think he's got the leg and he's got the arm to be a good quarterback in this league. Obviously, where we need to clean up is some of the decision-making and, you know, the errors in there. And, you know, I don't know how things are going to pan out, you know, with all the changes. So that's something that we're going to have to figure out as we get into this offseason here.
Hey, what do you feel is the most demanding aspect of being a top offensive lineman in the NFL? The physical part of the game, such as blocking guys twice a year like Vince Wilfork, and being in the weight room almost every day, or the mental aspect of the game, you know, like studying players' tendencies and things like gap protections?
You know, I think they both have their parts, mental side of it, you know, of going out there and you know, trying to study a new guy every week and, you know, the different things that go on, you know, making sure that you got the playbook down pat. Obviously, it's difficult, but you know, the physical toll that your body takes, I think, is also difficult. You know, you have to deal with bumps and bruises along the way that, you know, you just kind of have to put out of your mind. And, you know, I think with as difficult it is, it's still what's great about it is it's still a game and it's still fun. And I think that makes it all worthwhile.
Definitely. Now, Nick, how do you feel overall, you know, in a season, obviously, that, you know, is disappointing for everybody this year, but how do you feel the offensive line played this season, and how do you see this offensive line group going forward?
Yeah, you know, we had this was the first time in my 9 years that we've had to replace somebody because of IR. You know, we've been very fortunate with health up front, and, you know, we need to continue to work on our cohesion. You know, we had some errors here and there that kind of hurt us a little bit. But, you know, overall, I thought our guys, we've got a great room. And we have guys who are talented and are passionate about, you know, playing this game and playing offensive line. I'm excited to see who's going to be our coach and, you know, get working and try to build on some of the real positive things we did this past year.
You were ranked as Pro Football Focus's top center in the NFL this year. Has going against guys like Wilkerson, Sheldon, and Damon Harrison in practice every day helped you improve your game, or is it just a cakewalk for a guy like yourself?
It's never a cakewalk. It's the NFL. But, yeah, you know, having the best D-line in the National Football League is definitely a big help. You know, and competition only makes you better. And, you know, we're very fortunate with the D-line we have.
Awesome. Now, Nick, our final question for you here on Jet Nation Radio. Obviously, you are a part of the Who's Going to Win program, so it's a simple question. Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl this year? Who's your pick?
I think it's going to be Indy.
You think so? Wow.
Root for the Patriots to win, so Indy wins by default. I'm rooting for the Packers to beat Seattle, but I don't think they're getting out of Seattle. It's too difficult of a place to play. So I think it'll be Indy and Seattle, and I don't want to see a two-peat. So I would like Indy to win.
Absolutely. I think everybody involved with the Jets has an anybody but New England attitude going into this weekend.
Exactly.
including ourselves. But, Nick, we want to thank you for your time. And, again, Nick Mangold involved with the Verizon Who's Going to Win program. He thinks it's going to be the Indianapolis Colts going with the underdog. And who knows, maybe the Colts have a little bit of the, you know, when the Jets were sneaking into AFC championship games, maybe they have a little bit of that in them.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
All right. Thanks, Nick, for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. You have a good one.
All right. That was Nick Mangold joining us on Jet Nation Radio. Again, you can get involved with the Who's Going to Win campaign. Super Bowl is right around the corner, and that means Verizon Who's Going to Win program is back. This year, they are inviting fans across the country to show their fandom by transforming the nation into their team colors and making their prediction of who's going to win. Fans are encouraged to join us and Who's Going to Win conversation on Twitter, hashtag obviously Who's Going to Win, and Facebook to predict who they think will win each playoff game leading up to the Super Bowl. They can also visit whosgoingtowin.com on a desktop and use Google Street View to decorate houses in team colors and share socially with friends. During the final days leading up to the Super Bowl, Verizon will turn the fans' predictions for the matchup into a spectacular nightly show projected at Verizon Super Bowl Central in downtown Phoenix, taking place on Wednesday, January 22nd. 28th through Saturday, January 31st at 7 p.m. Fans will be able to stream the light show on their NFL mobile apps and whosgoingtowin.com. Plus, for the first time, fans can stream every NFL playoff game, including the Super Bowl, live on NFL mobile.
Anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dow.
And the home of the Jets.
And you are listening to Jet Nation Radio. And, you know, I want to first off start before we dive into, obviously, tons of topic tonight. The call line is open 646-716-4697. Again, that's 646-716-4697. I want to thank Nick Mangold for taking the time to join Joe and I on Jet Nation Radio. It was a really great experience You know, it's not every day you get to talk to players and interview professionals like Nick Mangold. So, you know, for myself, obviously, I've spoken to Gino, I've spoken to Nick Mangold now. So it's a great experience for both of us. And I want to, you know, send out a big thanks to Nick Mangold and his team and obviously the Verizon Who's Going to Win program for getting this all together. And I don't like to do this often, Joe. I don't like to do it often, but I'm going to just say, if there's one guy that can top Nick Mangold, we potentially might have the man on the next Jet Nation Radio. But I'm not going to say who it is. I'm not going to put any type of spoilers out there other than the next former New York Jet that we have on the show might top Nick Mangold in your books. I'm not going to say who it is, but just have that in the back of your mind. For all the Jet Nation Radio and Jet Nation fans out there, we might have something that just might get you a little more excited in the upcoming show. But without further ado, Chan Gailey's the new offensive coordinator of the New York Jets show. How do you feel about that?
You know, I'm in a great mood tonight. You know, there's so much news going around. You have Gailey coming. You have the new defensive coordinator. They haven't signed a contract yet, but you have a guy like Casey Rogers. You have the guy who developed David Carr and coach John DeFlippo. You have a whole bunch of guys coming in. We'll talk about some more of the coaches. I think Gailey, I don't think he's a great hire, but I definitely like it. You know, I hear some people saying that he's a terrible coach and et cetera, et cetera. But for most of the things that I've researched and for most of the things I've heard, he's a pretty good coordinator. I heard that most of his problem was with, you know, being a head coach and running both of the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball. But when he's individually been on offense, he's been a very successful coach. He's been to the Super Bowl three times with the Broncos as an assistant coach and then once with the Steelers as an assistant coach. So he has some experience there. And the thing I really like about him too is the fact that he's 63 years old. He's been there before. He's been in this league for a very long time. And it's a guy for Todd Bowles, a new head coach in this league to lean on, you know, whether it comes to team meetings, or practices, when to call timeouts, little nuances of the game. I like that he has a guy who he can fall back on, and you know, who he can converse with about things like this. So I definitely like it. We'll get more into it, but as of right now, I think Gailey is better than, you know, Schottenheimer, Soprano, or Marty Mornaway. So I think it's a step up from the Jets, and I like his experience, and I like how Todd Bowles can lean on him.
Well, we were actually on the air last week when Todd Bowles was introduced.
Yep.
You know, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes after we signed off, he was introduced as the head coach of the New York Jets. So I want to get into that first, and then we'll get into Chan Gailey as the offensive coordinator.
Let's do it.
You know, I think the Jets made two – I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to say the Jets made two good hires. The Jets did two great things. The Jets are doing great things. I'm going to say that the Jets – put good football people into place and made good football decisions. What I mean by that is, I'm not going to tell you Todd Bowles is going to be a great head coach and it's a great hire. Is he a great defensive coach? Absolutely. Does he have respect of people around the NFL? Absolutely. But he's never been a head coach before, so I'm not going to claim him a hot candidate and a great head coach. I'm going to claim him a great coordinator who's looking to make that leap from coordinator head coach, obviously. And then I look at a guy like McCagney. Never been a general manager before. Never been in this position before. Does he have the NFL experience? Yes, he does. Does he have the personnel background? Yes, he does. Does he have the scouting background? That's his biggest background. So I think that the Jets and Woody Johnson trusted two great football minds to help him make this decision. And I think that's the best that they can do. They went off the advice of, you know, his consultants, put these guys into place, and he didn't want to wait around for Dan Quinn. And quite frankly, I still think that Bowles is a better candidate than Dan Quinn, because I look at a guy like Quinn and I look at the guys in Seattle and I still say to myself, is he an overrated coach based off the players he's coaching? And I still have that doubt in my mind. I look at Todd Bowles and I look at the injuries that the Cardinals had and their defense carried that football team. So that's what I'm going off of in terms of positivity for Bulls. Now, in terms of a negative, it's the same view that I take on the positive side. I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to say, well, Todd Bowles is a horrible choice for head coach. There's no way he's going to be able to be a head coach in this league. He's not going to be around for very often because he's never done it before. You can't, you know, you're not, there's no track record to go off of either way. So I think that Jets trusted their football guys around them. They made some good decisions. They're headed in the right direction that we hope. But the only thing that you can say about these two hires, it's very clear. Time will tell.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. But, Brandon, I honestly think this is the first week that I've been on Twitter, and I've heard no Jets fans complaining about Todd Bowles. It's been incredible. This is probably the happiest I've seen, you know, Jet Nation in a pretty long time, you know. And then on top of that, when you have guys like Wolf, and you have guys like Cashley coming out and basically acting giddy about getting Bowles and McCagnan in here, it's definitely a positive. It's nice to have football guys in here. And the thing that's positive about Bowles too for me is if you come off the Bill Parcells, you know, coaching tree, then that is completely fine with me, even if I don't know too much about him. Some of the things I've been hearing about Bowles is, you know, he's not a loud guy. He gets his players to play for him, though. He can relate to them. Obviously, he was a strong safety in this league for I think it was 6 years with the Redskins, and he went to another team. I forget exactly what team it was, but you know, a quote I saw that was very interesting to me is somebody said that Bowles is cold blooded. He would cut his brother if he thought it'd make the team better. And honestly, I think that's the kind of guy we need in here. I think we need a guy who's not necessarily a player's coach but can relate to them, because, you know, I think this is going to be my last time talking about Rex Ryan. But with some of the decisions he made, I just think we needed a different kind of coach, Brandon. You know, he did many things. I don't know if you watched the interview with Buffalo, but he just keeps making the same mistakes. You know, people always say, you know, why fire Rex? You're a defensive coach. But, you know, it's not about, you know, what side of the ball you're on, because if you look at good coaches, I know Mike McCarthy messed up this past week, but when you look at a good coach like that, you're not really sure what side of the ball they're on. And when you talk to Rex, all you heard is about the defense. You see Rex having his players unprepared, like Vic. Nobody was accountable. Pryor and Geno both missed meetings this year. Nothing happened. The guy never made halftime adjustments. You see, and the funny thing that I saw too is I remember in 2011 when Santonio Holmes was acting like a complete jerk, and he basically was the, you know, the main guy in the circus act that we had here in 2011. He was named the team captain in 2012. So you have times, you had things like that. You have terrible timeouts. You know, he never developed the offense. I'm so happy I never have to listen to one of those stupid press conferences where Rex is saying great practice and then we come out and we suck. This past year we draft Taj Boyd in the sixth round because Rex Ryan's son said he was good, and you know, he had to make his son happy, so we drafted a guy in Taj Boyd in the sixth round, and now he's in the freaking CFL, or I don't even know where.
All right, listen. I've heard
Brandon, I am so happy. I am so happy to be done with the
For
Rex
what?
Ryan era.
What are you happy
so
about?
Happy.
What are you happy about? You got a coach who's never stepped foot on a sideline as a head coach before, and a general manager who's never been a GM before. What are you happy about? You've got two inexperienced guys that you know absolutely nothing about, other than the fact that the guy was a defensive coordinator and he comes from the Bill Parcells tree. Everybody on the Bill Parcells tree besides Bill Belichick and Tom Coughlin have been absolute disasters. So what are you happy about? The only thing that you should be happy about is the fact that you look at two guys who have been in the NFL for a long time, you trust the decision-making of the consultants, and you pray, you get on your knees every night and you pray that they didn't make another mistake. There's nothing to be happy about. The only thing that you should be happy about is that John Idzik's not the general manager of this team anymore, because he single-handedly ruined the New York Jets for this season and next season, and it's going to take some really good fiction to get this team back on track. Are these the guys to do it? We don't know. We have no idea. But guess what? Time's going to tell. That's the matter.
Oh, yeah, no.
That's the only way you can look at it. You want to be happy you got a great coach from Arizona and everybody's so giddy about him and the players love him? Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. What's his Todd Bowles has as many wins as a head coach as you do, Joe.
Hey, well, he was an interim coach for the Dolphins, so he actually has 2 wins, if I can correct you there, Brandon. But, you know, no, I'm not saying he's going to be a great coach and everything. I'm just done with the
I think you were an interim head coach for the Houston Oilers at one point in previous life, right?
With coaching, I actually, the year I did graduate after high school, I was the Powder Puff coach. So I technically was a coach. You know, I wasn't employed or anything, but I was the Powder Puff coach for my high school. But, you know, no, the thing with Rex Ryan is I watched the interview, you know, saying the number one defense, blah, blah, blah.
But, well, yeah, exactly. I don't want to talk about Rex Ryan anymore.
We are done. That is my last thing I will ever say about Rex Ryan until we play the Bills probably week one on primetime, Monday night, because I know it's going to happen. I know the NFL is going to do it.
And we're going to lose by 30. So go ahead, keep going.
Let's get off Rex Ryan. But you know, the thing about Bowles too, I'm happy he's a defensive backs coach with the Eagles. I'm happy that he should be able to help guys like Dee Milner. He should be able to help a guy like Dexter McDougal. Obviously, you know, your best friend Antonio Cromartie is basically already campaigning to come back to the Jets. It seems like every interview he's, Coach Bowles is amazing. You know, the thing about that too is you hear a guy. I'm not saying he's amazing. I'm just saying that's what Cromartie said. You hear guys like Sherman saying he's one of the smartest guys out there. Obviously, he was very sought after. He was the top name with Dan Quinn up there. And I agree with what you said before that he is probably my number one candidate out there. So I'm definitely happy we got my number one guy. You know, you have guys like DeMario Davis coming out saying they can't wait to play for him. And then everything else I hear too, Brandon, is that he's very good with the secondary, and that he should really be able to help a guy
listen,
like Calvin Pryor out.
Joe, I'm excited. And first off, I want to just listen to me for a second. I am excited and I'm happy. I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy and say, oh, you know, this is a bad move. There's no Jet fan out there that can say a negative word about Todd Bowles or Mike Maccagnan. Because they haven't done anything yet. You have to look at this from a positive point of view that you moved on from your previous coach and GM. You're moving in a new direction. You have new guys that have credibility in terms of coaching in the NFL, along with, you know, being in a front office. And you trust the decision-making of the guys around Woody Johnson. I'm not gonna sit here and bash these moves because there's nothing to bash. They went out and they got a top head coaching candidate that was out there, and they made the move to, bring in a new GM who has a scouting background and personnel. So I don't think that these are bad moves. I want, you know, I have people tweeting at me, you know, to relax, my good friend Richard. I'm relaxed. I'm not naive. I'm not expecting Todd Bowles to come in here.
You are a Jets fan. That's why.
Exactly. I'm not expecting Todd Bowles to come in here and produce a 12-4 record. You know, I'm expecting this team to go over it. Obviously, there's going to be a change in that locker room when the new head coach is in there and Rex Ryan, you know, who was beloved by his players, is not there anymore. And in the front office, there's a change because you have a new general manager. So I think change is good. The Jets need a change. After this season, it was obvious they weren't going in the right direction anymore. They needed to make changes. They made those changes. You have to trust that the guys that were hired and look at the positives surrounding. I'm all about the positivity, man. Todd Bowles, great defensive coach, did a lot of good things in Arizona. Time's going to tell. There are a lot of good coordinators out there who become head coaches and aren't good head coaches. You know, there are Wade Phillips, Norv Turners of the world that were great coordinators and became head coaches, and they stunk. So it's all about what is going to happen in the future. I'm excited for these new guys. I'm excited for the fact that we have a change. I'm excited for the fact that there's new faces. I'm excited for the fact that John Idzik's no longer making decisions in regards to this roster. But I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, my God, it's unbelievable the guys that the Jets got. We just hired the best coach out there. We got a GM, you know, hot off the press. I'm not going to do that because you'd be stupid to do that. Be excited. Be happy there's a change. Be happy you got what everybody says is a good coach. Be happy you got a personnel scouting guy. Be happy that the scouting guys are gone for the Jets. Every Jet fan, guess what? everything that everybody complained and whined about on Twitter for the past year now, they're all gone.
Yeah.
Scouting guy, gone. Rex Ryan, gone. Izzy, gone. They're all gone.
Gone. And Brad, you know who else is gone too? Well, I obviously know that every fan is
Marty Ball?
Know, really. No, well, no, I know everybody's very happy that Terry Bradway is fired. Everybody's ecstatic. That was the happiest I've heard Jets Twitter in you know, years. Really, everybody's really happy that Bradway is fired. Obviously, the guy I've been saying that I wanted fired for Rex to take him to Buffalo is gone, and that's Sanjay Lal, the guy who hasn't developed a receiver since he's been here in 2012 other than Jeremy Curley. So he's gone. Thank God he can go there and hopefully screw up Sammy Watkins somehow. And the only thing I'm really sad about is obviously our good friend Carl Dunbar, one of the best defensive line coaches in the NFL, is going to Buffalo, so I'm a little sad about that. You know, it's just been a very big week. There's been so much news. You have the Revis, the tampering comments. Now the Patriots are trying to, you know, get one of our draft picks. They're deflating footballs, you know. And then McCagnon, you know, you hear about him and how he might hire Gene Smith, who is the former GM of the Jaguars, who famously drafted the punter Anger in the third round. So, you know, there's definitely been so much news. Brandon, you know, and then you hear things about, okay, well, since we have Mike McCagnon, are we going to get a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick from the Texans? You know, what about a guy like Ryan Mallett, who are both got, you know, on the Texans? So, Ryan Mallett's kind of an unknown. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I believe he had, like, I think it was 19 touchdowns this year and like 7. I understand they're not, you know, great names, but anybody to come in here and compete with Geno other than a guy like Michael Vick or guys in the past like a Mark Brunell or David Garrard is definitely better. You know, they're definitely better than one of those guys. But I like to get a little bit into Gailey. I want to know how you feel about it, because I'm not too sure. I think I saw it about a week ago. You're not terribly excited. I think you think it's a decent hire. But I really think that a guy like Gailey could help a guy like Geno Smith, because obviously he came from an offense in West Virginia.
But Shane Gailey is here for one reason and one reason only. Obviously he has some experience as a head coach. But, I mean, listen, if I'm going to be negative about one thing, okay, and I'm a pretty positive Jet fan. I've been getting a bad rap lately for being a negative
You
fan
say
today.
That, but you were the most, you're the biggest negative Nancy I know, I think.
No, I'm not. Chan Gailey doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't get me excited. It doesn't make me jump out of my chair. Chan Gailey, how am I going to get excited about a guy that's been out of football for 2 years and his last job he was fired? How does that excite me?
Do you want me to answer this question, or what do you want me to do?
Yeah, I want you to explain to me. So if I go and I say, listen, this Jets offense last year, they could finish in the red zone. They showed good signs of moving the football. They just couldn't finish drives. We need somebody to come in here and work with our quarterback, fix our quarterback situation, and help this offense. Do you know who that guy is? Let's go get a guy who's been out of football for 2 years and got fired on his last job. Sounds awesome. Let's do it. Does that excite you? You excited? You feel good?
Okay, well, yeah, I obviously hear that, you know, I know that he got fired from his last couple of head coaching gigs, but the thing about that is everybody says it's because he was negligent to the offense, just kind of, to the defense, just kind of like Rex was negligent to the offense. So, you know, I'm a little bit excited. I think he's better than guys that we've had in the past, like I said before. I think the fact that Gailey likes to run a lot of screen plays, a lot of short and intermediate routes. He likes to spread the offense out, a lot of receivers on the field. I think a guy like that will use a guy like Jason Morrow in the correct way, you know, a lot more than Marty Morningwig did. And, you know, when you hear a guy like Bill Cowher, who I know both me and you respect very, very much, comes out and says, you know, he's a selfless, loyal guy, and he will be a great resource to Todd Bowles. I think that's a positive. You know, we're not experts, Brandon, we both know this, but when you hear a guy like Bill Cowher speak up, he's not just saying it for kicks. He's not just saying it for, you know, for shits and giggles. You know, he's saying it because he means it. He wouldn't put his name on somebody when he doesn't mean it. Obviously, you have a guy like Wolf and Casserly.
they obviously knew that it was Bowles' first choice, so they obviously put their stamp of approval on it,
too. Let's look at it this way. You're throwing out a lot of technical stuff here. You're getting technical with me here. I want to ask you point blank. This is Jet Nation Radio, yes or no, okay?
Okay.
That's all. There's nothing else but yes or no. Do you view Mike Maccagnan as an upgrade from John Idzik?
The biggest yes I've ever put on a paper, yes. Definitely yes.
Okay, great. Do you view Todd Bowles as an upgrade from Rex Ryan?
I'm going to say yes. I know you're probably going to be like, oh, well, Rex Ryan, I love him. But, okay, yes.
Listen. Play by the rules. It's yes or no. We don't need any peanut gallery.
Okay, yeah. Even though
we're on the radio, there's no comments. It's yes. I'm just asking a question, okay? You don't need to jump down my throat. It's all right. So, Maccagnan over Idzik, yes. Bowles over Ryan, yes. Okay. Chan Gailey over Marty Morningwick. Upgrade, yes.
Yes. And can I give a little more facts about you know,
no,
Gailey?
There's no facts.
For SAF?
There's no facts.
Okay, well,
no,
I'll wait a little bit later.
Yes. Or no. But
yes.
Speaking
yes.
of facts, there's one man who likes to throw out the facts a lot on Jet Nation Radio, and that's our man Glenn from JetNation.com, who's joining us live. Glenn, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how we doing, guys?
What's up, Glenn?
Doing good, man.
Good, good. Glad to hear about the Gailey hire. I was, like a lot of people, initially when I heard about the hire, of course, being a Jets fan, and you tend to follow your own division closest. I just thought about how the Jets kind of manhandled the Bills while he was there as their head coach, so it wasn't a very exciting hire initially. But when I said, okay, you know, let me look at what he did offensively, you know, as a coordinator, and what his, you know, as with that title, as well as his team's offenses while he was the head coach, and the common thread that I found is that, you know, other than working with John Elway about 300 years ago, the guy's never had, a great quarterback. And, I mean, he's never had a guy that did better without Chan than they did with Chan. He had a long string. You know, I looked through it. Mike Tomczak, Cordell Stewart, Tyler Thigpen. Tyler Thigpen has started 11 games in his life, and they were all under Chan Gailey. And the guy threw more touchdowns than interceptions. And he was a seventh-round pick, and the Jets can't get first- and second-rounders to do that in a stretch of about 10 years. So...
Yep.
I'm going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt and say he took a seventh rounder, again, Tyler Thigpen, who put up better numbers than Geno Smith or Mark Sanchez can manage to do. He did it with him. He wasn't even supposed to be a starter. Thigpen came in as a second or third stringer, ended up starting because of injuries, and he outperformed anything we've had in recent memory. I think Sanchez had 1 year where he had more touchdowns than interceptions, and I know that's not the be-all, end-all, but it's a big one. I mean, turnovers have killed this team over the past 6-7 years. You know, even when we were going to AFC Championship games, we were sneaking into the playoffs because our quarterback was doubling up his picks to his touchdowns. So Gailey managed to get Tyler Thigpen to outperform those guys, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick, another seventh-rounder. You know, he bounced around the league for a few years, didn't do much. He played so well under Gailey, he ended up getting, I think, a $60 million deal. And again, he threw some picks. But I don't think, I could be wrong, but when I looked at the numbers the other day, I don't think he ever threw more picks than touchdowns. The guy, he finds ways to get his quarterbacks to get the ball into the end zone and protect the football. I know that, excuse me, a little bit hoarse. I know he had Jay Fiedler for a little while, a couple of seasons, and those were Jay Fiedler's two best seasons. I think he had 14 picks, 14 touchdowns his first year with Gailey. The next season, he threw 21, career high. He won 10 or 11 games with Cordell Stewart. Cordell Stewart, a lot of people didn't even think he was an NFL-caliber quarterback. And he was, you know, he had this last title. He was running back, receiver, all that in his first year. That was with Tomczak when they won, you know, Pittsburgh won double-digit games with Mike Tomczak at quarterback with Gailey at coordinator. Then you had the following season, they let Cordell Stewart play. In his first season as a starter under Gailey, it's the only time in his career he throws 20 touchdowns. And one of only two times he throws for over 3,000 yards. So Gailey hasn't had a ton to work with. We're supposed to be, Jet Nation is supposed to be, I don't want to give the name in case it falls through. I hate to make a promise and then have a wrench get thrown into our plans, but we're supposed to be interviewing one of his former quarterbacks tomorrow, somebody who played for him for a little bit, and we're going to get their thoughts on Gailey and what he does well. And
are you throwing out spoilers too, Glenn? Is that like the me and you are on the same page tonight? Then I'm throwing out spoilers for next week's show. I might have an upgrade. A bigger name than Nick Mangold. Well, you're throwing out spoilers. I like the direction that we're headed in. We're keeping the people on the edge.
And I will say off the bat, we are Jets fans. So with you guys having a former Jet on who might be bigger than Mangold, your spoiler outspoils mine. But it is, you know, and again, it's not for the spoiler effect. It's the fact that I don't want to say we're getting the guy and then have it fall through and not deliver. So we do have something set up. So looking forward to getting a little bit of insight for Gailey's offensive philosophy. And everything we're hearing right now is that his philosophy, you know, he's doing what every fan wants to hear, and it's predicated on his what he has at his disposal. You know, he's had years where, as you guys said in the Mangold interview, some years he's run it 60% of the time, some years he throws it 60% of the time, all predicated on what he's got. You know, that first year when he had Fiedler, he had Lamar Smith in the backfield. That was, you know, another thing I looked at and tried to say, okay, he won with these quarterbacks, but what type of running games did he have? And when he was in Dallas as the head coach, he had Emmitt Smith. When he was in Pittsburgh, he had Jerome Bettis. So he had a couple of Hall of Famers. But you look at his first year in Miami, he had Lamar Smith, who was a nice back, but he never rushed for more than 1,000 yards. He had 11 career touchdowns in his first 6-7 seasons. Then year one under Gailey, he goes for over 1,000 yards and 13-14 touchdowns. So the guy basically, he makes it work. He makes it fit. And, you know, the quote I heard from him the other day is that, or I don't know if it was an old quote I found online, that he wants to put a winning offense, not a productive offense, basically saying, you know, who cares if you're throwing for 330 yards if you're losing? You know, do what you got to do to win. If it means protecting the football and just, you know, controlling the clock, whatever you have to do. The guy, he's been a winner as a coordinator, basically. And I know, you know, you say, oh, how exciting is it to bring in a guy who got fired from his last gig? To me, it's kind of apples and oranges because he's not doing the same gig. I'm going to look at his history as an offensive coordinator, and he's done well. He hasn't done great, you know, in terms of where his offenses have ranked. But again, I'm giving him a little bit of leeway because of the fact that he hasn't.
You're giving him the benefit of the doubt, right? I know exactly what you're saying, and I'm with you. You listen. We can give everybody the benefit of the doubt. They're all new hires. We can't. I can look at a guy like Chan Gailey, and this is how I look at it. Do I think the Jets could have, you know, made a better choice at offense coordinator? Yes, I do. Do I think that they are going to factor in that Todd Bowles has never been a head coach in the NFL and he's, you know, comfortable with Chan Gailey, and Chan Gailey has been a head coach before and might be able to help him on some situations that Todd Bowles might not be familiar with? Absolutely. I think the Jets wanted to bring in a former head coach as their offensive coordinator because you have a head coach that's never been one before. So I think that that's a factor into the situation there. But I just look at it from my point of view, and my opinion is you just don't know. You're not going to know what you're going to get from your head coach. You probably, you know, you might know what you get from your offensive coordinator, but he still doesn't have the track record where, you know, when Marty Morningweg came in here, okay, Marty Morningweg, you knew that he was going, what he was going to do. You knew exactly the type of offenses that he, you know, coaches and he does. Chan Gailey, you do to an extent, but he's not somebody that is known for a certain type of style or a certain type of way. He's not, you know, a top offensive coach in this league. But you give everybody the benefit of the doubt. You have a new coaching staff, new front office. Before you start bashing people, before you say people are bad hires, you got to let them coach a football game. That's how I look at it.
I agree, yeah, guys. Yeah, thanks Brandon. A lot for your time. And great job on the Mangold interview, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much, Glenn. And I hope everything pans out for you tomorrow. Let's go to David, who wants to talk about the offense. David, you're live on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I love the coverage and the broadcast y'all do. I'm a West Virginia guy.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
Palestino,
that.
Ever since he was actually from Miramar. The one thing that I personally feel that was always a problem with the Jets was that they tried to complicate every situation. You know, I mean, they could have, you know, 2nd and 7 and they try to run a wildcat, or they get down in the red zone, there was always problems. And if you actually look at Geno's career through college, he progressively got better once he started understanding, you know, the system. And I know that we can talk about his decision making and everything else, but if you look at, you know, his track record, he always got better. And it was a simple fact of, I'm not saying simplify the game, but actually bring the game to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't just have him running these off-the-wall plays all the time, and he's got to think too much. And the one thing that I like about the new hire with the offensive coordinator, he actually adapts the offense to the quarterback and to the team. It's not like, this is how we run the play, and if it don't work, then we're SOL, basically. And that's what the Jets offense was, because if you look at the tape, and trust me, I studied it because it was pathetic. The no receivers get any space. There's no grass. It's like you run your route the way it's designed, and honestly, half of the receivers couldn't even run the routes right. And then it's like try to find somebody to throw a ball to. And then you'd get these big plays here and there. But I really think that Geno can excel in the offense that Gailey runs. And I just wanted to see your guys' input on that.
Yeah, no, you definitely made some great points there. The thing I've been hearing all week is, you know, Gailey, he gets very good production out of inferior players. You know, he, with all the teams he's been on, he's had some pretty bad talent, and they've always been, you know, not a great offense, but a decent offense, or at least a respectable offense in this league. And not, to be honest, with the Jets defense and how they've been in the last couple of years, and especially with getting a guy like Todd Bowles, we only needed a middle of the pack offense. You know, look at what just happened with the Seattle Seahawks, you know, this past weekend. And, you know, you're right about the red zone thing. You're right about Marty. You know, you see the red zone, and it's frustrating because it seems like guys like Decker and guys who are like Amaro, who are, you know, 6'3". Amaro is, what, 6'4", 6'5". You don't see them. They're basically invisible. One red zone trip, you see pass, pass, pass. The next one's run, run, run. And the good thing about Gailey is you hear that he adapts to changes. Obviously, like I said in the interview, I'm not sure if you were listening before, but in 1997, the Steelers ran the ball 56% of the time. And then with 2011 with the Bills, they passed it 60% of the time. And you hear about Gailey, you know, he gets his players in the best position, you know, to excel. And then you mentioned Geno. Gailey likes to run a spread type of offense with, you know, short intermediate routes and screens, so that's definitely going to help a guy like Geno. Glenn called in before, and I wasn't sure if you're listening then too, but, you know, you have a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, who throws 21 touchdowns and 27 interceptions, and then Gailey gets there, and I know it's not a huge gap, but he throws 71 touchdowns to 54 interceptions, so he definitely helped a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick out. You see a guy like Thigpen, who was a seventh round pick. He throws 18 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. CJ Spiller had his best year under him with a 1,700 yards. So he's definitely a step up from Mornieweg, in my opinion. I'm definitely going to be excited to not see the stupid red zone plays and the stupid play calling when you see Ivory, you know, running like a beast and then he's gone for three drives. And I can't guarantee that, obviously, but from what I've seen from him and what I've heard from him, he's very respected. He wasn't a great head coach, but from everything I've heard and seen personally, he is a respected offensive coordinator.
Absolutely. And one thing I wanted to touch on, I mean, naturally, Gailey's, you know, past and whatnot. If you look at spread offenses, it's typically your receiver needs to find grass. So, like, he will man up on whoever's covering him, and then he's going to break to wherever, you know, he can. And if you look at the production of it, and it's a big thing that Philadelphia does, it's like find grass, find an open space, we'll get you the ball. But when everything is constant timing and you've got, pardon my French, bad receivers that don't run the right routes, then it's like that timing shit goes out the window. Because if you can't run the right route to begin with, and in all honesty, guys, Jets offensive line's pretty mediocre at best. And you've got like half a second to 1.2 seconds to throw the football. you better have somebody that's running the right route that you can throw it in that window. And if you look back at Geno's career through college and whatnot, I mean, the kid can rip the ball with anybody. I don't really care who disregards that. He can throw the football. It's when you don't have no blocking, you don't have receivers even on the same page because you're grabbing them off the street, then you can't really be productive. So you bring in somebody, and I really hope that Jets Nation will be somewhat patient, because I think that the kid's got it. It's just he needs to get people around him to do it, you know. And I hate the flack he gives, and I know that you guys bag on him somewhat, but then sometimes, you know, you hear the positives of it. I mean, he can do it. It's just, man, you got to give the kid some help and give him a fair chance. It's like if you send some troops out into war, and you know everybody ain't never picked up a gun before, then yeah, you're probably gonna get killed. You know what I'm saying?
David, are you a Jets fan out there in West Virginia, or just more of a Geno Smith fan?
No, sir. I honestly am a partial Jets fan. My dad's been a Jets fan since I'm 36 years old. My dad was a Joe Namath fan, and he's followed the Jets the whole time. And I will honestly say this. When Geno got drafted by the Jets, I almost, like, threw my remote through the TV because I thought that was the worst situation that could happen to him. And my dad said no. No, and this is not offense to Jet Nation. I was just like, oh, man, because I knew what was ahead of him. You know, I mean, not only the media market, but also the expectations that come upon a young quarterback. And the one thing that I saw was that in the earnest that Jets Nation, you know, accepted him. But then, you know, 3 games into the season, it was like Mark Sanchez all over again. You know, they turned against him. He was the worst quarterback ever, and it was like, hey, he didn't come into this being a starting quarterback, in my opinion. I mean, I knew that. He was a spread quarterback. Everybody knows that spread quarterbacks don't make it off the start in the NFL. And I was like, man, the kid's got such a bum rap, you know, but he's got the arm talent. And do I question his decision-making? Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, he gets panicked and whatnot, but also he's fighting for his life sometimes. So, yeah, I mean, but I do. I've always liked the Jets, you know, and I want to see the Jets kick ass. That's what I've grew up to want to see, to be honest with you.
We like to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm – I mean, it only boosted my confidence and my how do you put it, like my push for this team. I don't want to see them bottom feeders no more. And just – so happens that one of my guys made it, and it's like, hey, let's do the thing right. And I don't feel it was done right.
Yeah.
Because
David,
I mean,
listen,
hey,
we appreciate you giving us a shout for the first time, man. And we appreciate you listening to the show. Come on up to Jersey to check out a Jets game next season. How does that sound?
Actually, me and my wife we're looking at that, and I would love to, you know, and I'd love to hang out with you guys and whatnot, and you know, I'll pull for Jets, you know, forever. I mean, and not just because of Geno, just because of the, you know, passion that the group has. Because if you guys don't know it, Mountaineer fans, baby, we're the we're top of the line. We pull whether we lose or win, we still booze, you know.
Listen, I actually went to the West Virginia Texas Tech game last season, so I know exactly how the Mountaineer fans are down in West Virginia. We appreciate the call, and listen, when you come up, if you and your wife do decide to head on up to a tailgate, you come and hang out with us, Jet Nation. We're all hanging out at Tailgate Joe. It's a great time. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to take care of you and have a great time. How's that sound?
I look forward to it, buddy, and you'll hear from me again. But good job, guys. I enjoy the radio every week.
Thank you so much, Dave. We really appreciate it. Go Jets.
All right, man.
And that was David from West Virginia, first-time caller. And, Joe, I know you had some stuff you wanted to touch on, so take it away.
Yeah, I definitely, first of all, I definitely like to hear, you know, David calling in and say he's from Virginia and he's rooting for the Jets and he's going to come down to a game. It's definitely, you know, great to hear about the diversity the fan base has. You know, you hear fans from Texas and from Virginia and California and all these places. So it's definitely a great fan base. But I definitely want to touch on some of the other coaches. I don't know if everybody's heard about all the other coaches. You know, it's not a definite, just like Chan Gailey, you know, you heard yesterday that he might not be a coach of the Jets, but I think that was honestly just all about the contract and things like that. So these guys are basically definites right now. I just wanted to hit on some names. Obviously, you have a guy like Mike Caldwell, who was the linebacker coach for the Cardinals. He is going to be our assistant coach. He was a linebacker in the NFL for 11 years. So obviously, you have another credible guy who gets players, and I think it's good that he'll be a guy who Todd Bowles leans on because they were coaching together, I believe, for 1 year with the Eagles and then 2 years with the Cardinals. So I think that's a positive. You know, you don't see a lot of assistant head coaches anymore, and some teams don't have them. But I think it's good that, you know, Bowles is not admitting that he needs some help, but, you know, he has people to lean on, which I think is a good thing. So I like Caldwell. He did some good things with the linebackers this year. Obviously, Foote looked pretty good. He's an old guy. You had Washington out, and they really excelled in their linebackers. And when I watched a couple of those Cardinals games, their linebackers definitely played pretty well. So I'm excited for him to be here. Obviously, I don't know definitely, but I think he's a good coach to have here. The Jets are hiring the Dolphins defensive line coach, Casey Rogers, as their defensive coordinator, which, if we're getting rid of a guy like Dunbar because he went to Buffalo, I think Casey Rogers is one of the next best defensive coaches in the league. And I think it's good that he is taking over as a defensive coordinator, because obviously I think Bowles wants to play to our strength. And obviously we have a very strong strength in the defensive line with the guys we have here. So I think that's a positive. Casey Rogers has developed guys like Randy Starks, Cameron Wake, Langford, and Oliver Vernon, and Jared Odrick. So he's definitely developed some guys who weren't great coming out of the draft or coming out of free agency. So that's a positive to me. The Jets' new quarterback coach is most likely going to be John DeFlippo, who developed David Carr this year. So that's a positive. Obviously, hopefully Geno shows some flashes like David Carr did this year. And then the Falcons defensive backs coach, Joe Dana, is most likely going to be the Jets defensive backs coach. And obviously I haven't heard too much about him, so I can't gloat about him, but from what I've heard, he's done some good things with some sixth and seventh round picks, there in Atlanta. So I'm excited about the coaches we're hiring right now, Brandon. I think we're definitely, you know, like we said before, you don't know for sure, but from these guys' resumes and from what I've heard about some of these guys, we're definitely on the right track with these coaches that we're hiring right now.
Absolutely. I think the Jets have done some good things. I think they have made some great moves. Like I said, you know, the only thing that we're going to be able to see is when the Jets hit the field, they've gone through the offseason. It's going to be one of the biggest offseasons that they have ever had. And, you know, time is going to tell with these type of situations. You know, you look at the guys they're bringing in, you know, have their track record seem great. The places that they've been, they've seen successful. You know, when are they going to gel together? Is the front office, is McCagney going to thrive in this type of role? Time's going to tell to find out what's going to happen with that. I think that the Jets have made, you know, some good decisions and have gone in the right direction. And I definitely think in terms of decision-making, you have to trust the guys that they have in place around Woody Johnson. I want to thank, you know, first off, obviously Nick Mangold one more time with the Who's Going to Win program through Verizon. You know, I want to thank Nick for taking the time to join us here on Jet Nation Radio. I want to thank David, obviously, first-time caller from West Virginia, and, of course, Glenn, who always gives us the great insight every single week when he calls in. Look for his interview tomorrow. I know he wasn't willing to announce it yet, just in case something does happen in the world of media, last-minute things, last-minute cancellations. You can never be too sure. I want to thank Glenn again. I want to apologize for my audio tonight. It will be fixed and taken care of. And as always, I want to thank all the loyal listeners and Jerry behind the scenes. We will see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.